This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Iowa's Randy Feenstra. He represents the 4th Congressional District as a member of the House Ag Committee. Joins us in just a moment. First off, Brad Rippey, meteorologist, USDA, on cotton harvest progress.
Cotton harvesting had a great week. We saw some rain, but it was mostly outside of the main cotton belt, and it fell primarily in the western Gulf Coast region where the cotton that's there has already been harvested. So great news for California, for the Southwest, for the Southern Plains, the Delta, and the Southeast. Everything moving along quickly this week. Overall, U.S. cotton harvest 67% complete by November 12th. Five-year average is just 63%. We are, however, behind last year's number, 70% complete, on November 12th, 2022.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Randy Feenstra. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Iowa. Welcome back to the show.
Tony, it's always great to be on with you.
Hey, let's start first with... I said first, and I guess that's a good segue here, to Farmers First Act. What's that?
Yeah, I tell you what, this is something that we don't always think about, but this is improving and expanding behavioral health for our farmers. And again, it's something distant that we don't really think about, the mental health of farmers. But in farming, it can be a lonely endeavor, and it's a stressful industry when the economy turns and you know, or when the weather, tornadoes, derechos, or you know, drought hits, disease infects flock and stuff like that. This bill, what it does, it allows a connection between the farmer and the regional health centers to establish certified community health behavior clinics for farming and allow hospitals and rural health centers to watch out for farmers and to have them come in and just have an assessment done that they can talk and to get personalized care. And that's what this bill does. And like I said, we don't always think about it, but it's very, very important.
Now, one of the other things that's important, because again, we talk about the mental health, but we also kind of need to talk about the health of keeping the operation there in tough times, i.e. crop insurance. You've got something called Crop Insurance for Future Farmers Act. What's that?
Exactly. And again, crop insurance is so important. It's probably the number one issue in the farm bill this coming year. But also when it comes to crop insurance, it's costly. And it's probably the number one cost for that beginning farmer. So when you go in and you want that operational loan, that banker's going to say, all right, the cost here on insurance. But you have to have insurance to protect it, you know, to protect from bad events. So what we've done is created a 10-year plan to reduce crop insurance by 15% over a 10-year period for new beginning farmers. Again, just trying to reduce that cost for that beginning farmer so that land can be passed on to the next generation and that next generation can get that operational loan and be successful.
But when we talk about passing that on from one generation to another, just making sure that it's there is a tough thing as well. I noticed that you had an amendment to the Department of the Interior appropriations package. And I don't want to go too far out here because I'll get out and over my skis here, but it's something dealing with approval of regulations that could impact over, what, 50% of cropland?
Exactly. So what we have here, the Biden administration, and we all know about waters of the U.S., that the EPA pushed through. That affects about 92% of all the farmland in America. And what this amendment does, and it goes to the Department of Interior Appropriation Bill, it simply says that anything that impacts 50% of the farmland must have congressional approval. Again, it's Congress that should be passing these laws, not the EPA. They're an agency. But however, we have empowered agencies to have these overarching rules like WOTUS that are destroying or really creating real problems for our farming community. And my feeling is we got to restore the power to Congress. We write the laws, not the bureaucrats.
Well, speaking of laws, we've got one that's expired now. The 2018 Farm Bill has expired. Don't yet have a 23 Farm Bill. Looks like maybe a 24 Farm Bill. So what can you tell us about what's kind of happening behind the scenes?
Well, the first thing is that we have a new speaker in Congress, and we wanted to make sure that there are 60 of us farm agricultural congressional members that have written a letter to Mike Johnson, the speaker, saying it's imperative that we get a farm bill passed. Now, obviously, when you think about that farm bill, strengthen crop insurance, open new export markets, fight foreign animal disease, ban China from buying our farmland, these are all key components. But the great thing is last night we passed a one-year extension on the current farm bill. And that's through the continuing resolution that was passed. That will go to the Senate. That will pass. So it gives us a little more freedom to take time and to do this right. So I was really excited about that. What we did last night to extend that farm bill for one more year, but that doesn't mean that we're going to just wait a year. It just gives us several months to make sure that we get this farm bill right and get it passed, hopefully in January or February of next year.
Now, some of what we've been hearing and watching and reading about in Congress, especially on the House side, deals with the overwhelming federal debt, if you will, the budget, and trying to figure out a way to keep the ship from sinking, if you will. Will that play into that debate on the farm bill, you think?
It is, and we've had a lot of discussions about the farm bill, and what we're doing is looking at offsets, meaning we're going to try to keep the cost of the farm bill over the last 5 years. We're going to try to keep that the same. We believe that when you have funds for the farm bill, 0.1% is spent on the farm bill. So it's very small peanuts in essence of what we spend on everything else in our country. And you think about the breadbasket to the world, literally to the world, that we got to provide and make sure that we're taking care of our producers. So that's why it's so important. Obviously dollars and cents are important, but our return on investment is amazing when it comes to the farm bill and what it does.
But we have to have somebody to sell this to. And since we grow more than we can consume here in the U.S., trade is vital. Just reading something this morning that the Chinese will be continuing to import U.S. corn and soybeans, but they're expecting to do less of that next year because they're ramping up production in their own country. But we've got other countries we kind of work against, if you will, compete against. How important is it for trade deals, and then keeping those trade rules on top?
Yeah, again, if you think about the export market right now, I mean, all our commodity prices are really based on how we're doing on our exports. So we met with the chief agricultural negotiator, Doug McKellop. He handles all the trade, agricultural trade for America. And the two big issues that we're very concerned about that we're watching, obviously, is Brazilian tariff on ethanol exports. Brazil implemented a 16% tariff last year on ethanol. That'll go up to 18% next year. And Doug McKellop, the negotiator, is working with Brazil to try to get that taken off. That has really hit our export market. We were doing about 6 million gallons of export ethanol a year, and now we're down to about 400,000. So it's a really significant issue, and we've got to change that. The same thing with Mexico. Obviously, 25% of our corn, export corn, goes to Mexico, and they said they're going to ban it by 2025. Again, talking with our agricultural trade negotiator, he said that we're moving forward through the USMCA on what that negotiation, what that contract said on how to go through these issues. But the bottom line is it will probably have to take a new Mexican president to really change it, because the current Mexican president just is not supportive of any type of GMO corn, and that's a grave concern for us.
There's a lot going on right now, and I guess we could look at all of the obstacles around us and be frustrated and maybe depressed, if you will. But when you look into the crystal ball, if you will, maybe the next year or two. Are you optimistic?
You know, I am, especially for agriculture producers. I mean, especially with the one-year extension on the farm bill right now. You look at our commodity prices. I mean, obviously, livestock is doing very well. But I think if we can get our exports in line, all right, if we can get our exports in line, that will pop up some of these grain prices, whether it be corn or soybeans, wheat, and so forth. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity in the export world to create more markets there. Obviously, when it comes to market access programs and foreign market development programs, those dollars are so important to continue to grow the export market. But I am an opportunist when it comes to looking at our commodity markets and where they're at, and I think that they will grow this coming year in price.
We've taken probably too much of your time because I know you are extremely busy right now, especially as we're into this fourth quarter. We appreciate what you've done. Will you come back and see us soon?
Tony, it's always great to be on with you. And anybody ever wants to reach out, they go to feenstra.house.gov. I sit on the Agriculture Committee, and I sit on Ways and Means that deals with trade and tax. So I'm there for the producers.
Again, it's the Honorable Randy Feenstra. He represents the 4th Congressional District of Iowa, is a member of the House Ag Committee, and joins us on today's Agribusiness Report.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Join us at the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show November 28th through 30th at the Amarillo Civic Center. Connect with hundreds of exhibitors showcasing the latest ag technology and attend agriculture-focused seminars too. Earn your certification at the Beef Quality Assurance Training or attend livestock education sessions with the Texas Tech School of Veterinary Medicine. Hear from experts at the Cotton Conference, earn CEU credits, or attend the Texas Wheat Symposium. It's all happening at the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show. Visit AmarilloFarmShow.com for more information.
It's the Agribusiness Report. John Burge is Acting Deputy Administrator for Farm Programs on the ERP program.
So as of right now, there is no application deadline, and I don't anticipate that there will be for some time. In terms of needing an appointment, no. I think that folks can go in. Part of the hope here was in getting this announced early, even prior to the pre-filled applications going out, was to ensure that people knew that they could just come into the office, meet with their local county staff, and have a discussion with them so that they could pull up the records and see what information was there. That has been how we've had all these folks get signed up thus far. I mean, the program's really only been open for about a day and a half. And as of this morning, I think we've had 3,000 applications filed, and we've already got payments in the system to be paid out. So it moves pretty quickly if you get into the office. If you'd like to wait and have the paper in your hand to go in and ask questions about, that's perfectly acceptable as well. Those pre-filled applications are going to start hitting people's mailboxes next week.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Let's talk about cotton research. Cotton Incorporated funds more than 400 ag research projects every year. They study cotton, engineering, economic development, entomology, agronomy, pathology, variety selection, expanded cotton seed uses. And that's just the start. You grow the cotton research and promotion program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Representative Randy Feenstra from Iowa, member of the House Ag Committee.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Welcome back. It's the Agribusiness Report.
For the winter wheat crop, USDA says things look okay.
Except for the condition of the crop in some of our drought-affected areas.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says as far as the planting pace and emergence of the crop,
it's about as normal as you can get.
Growers have planted 93% of the crop, same as the five-year average. 81% of the crop is up. That's within 1% of normal. However, of concern, the condition rating, and it's going the wrong way.
We've actually given up some of our gains that we made last week, and we see the crop 47% good to excellent. A week ago, we were sitting at 50%.
Biggest winter wheat producing state, Kansas, with the biggest problems.
33% of the crop there, currently rated very poor to poor. Other states with the very poor to poor ratings above the national number include Oregon, 29%, still some drought pockets there. Texas, 21%.
Nebraska, 18% rated poor to very poor. Gary Crawford, Washington.